Ladies and gentlemen, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
To this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Boy, have we got a great show for you lined up. I just want to say a couple of things at the outset of tonight's show. You know, we could not do this program. We cannot do what we're doing right now without the people who are close to us, and without the people who listen to us, and without the people who support us. You know, sometimes you get introspective, I suppose, and you think about mortality, one's own mortality, and I had the occasion to do that today under some interesting circumstances, and I just want to express to each and every one of you how blessed we are, how blessed we feel that we are. Number one, to have this platform. So, with respect to that, I want to thank Global Star Radio Network. They have Class A programming. Todd from Global Star works 24/7. He's got a beautiful family. He's got a very successful business, but he's a kind-hearted, giving man, and I just want to say thank you for that. Thank you, Todd, for everything you do, and thank you, Global Star, for carrying our program. And you know, for all the knocking around that Blog Talk Radio gets, they're a class act. They're a class operation. And I just want to say thank you to Global Star Radio Network as well. Or, Blog Talk Radio and Global Star. But BTR, Blog Talk Radio. The owner of BTR and all the people that work there, thank you for carrying our program. And of course, you know, we're using YouTube Live. I don't know how long we'll be on YouTube. You can see the writing on the wall, can't you? With the censorship that's taking place. But for those who are subscribing to our channel, thank you. And to the people who support us through their financial gifts, thank you. And for the people who send us letters and prayers, words of encouragement, thank you. And to the moderators of the chat that we don't see, never see on YouTube, thank you. It's my understanding that there are a few people that just are there 24, like clockwork all the time, kicking bad people out. Thank you. And for those critics of our program, thank you. And I mean that. You know, I don't know who said it, but a man is defined by not just his friends, but his enemies. And looking at the people who consider us their enemies, thank you. Thank you for that definition. Thank you for showing us who we are. Thank you for making us bolder in the face of your criticism, sometimes warranted and sometimes not. And for those of you who simply are out to harass, annoy, threaten. Thank you. Because that keeps us sharp. That keeps us on our toes. Keeps security company in business. Security detail in business. And for those that are in-house, we don't have a big staff. Joe, my son, Eric the tech, you can't see. One of these days I'm going to walk up and turn the camera.
By show.
That's right. He's he's here all the time. If you could see his workstation, he'd be impressed. I'm impressed. Again, you know, he every day, well, every time before he leaves, he puts this collar on me, shock collar, takes it off when he gets to the studio. I can't come within 5 feet of his desk or I get zapped. Too many buttons, too many knobs and switches. But sometimes, you know, when you look at the news and you see the heavy news day like today, and you realize that everything is coming down all at one time, you have to become a little bit introspective. I think it helps. And I also want to thank the people, well, also Jackie, my daughter. She works for us as well. It's truly a family business. Now, my wife does not work for us. She supports us. It's me. When I say supports, I mean, if I leave for the office at 2:00 in the morning, she doesn't ever say, where are you going and why are you going? She says, be careful. Come back. Or if we say, you know, hey, going to have to get another mortgage on the house. We need equipment. Where do I sign? Thank you. John Robertson, who has done a great job. Thank you. A just unbelievable job as producer and program director. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And I could spend a day telling you the gift of time, effort that John Robertson has given. I still wouldn't be able to do justice. And JD Hopwood, thank you for everything you've done. No, I'm not dying. Although there are a few people out there, you know, wishing. Got an email like that today. And one more, and then we're going to get down to business. I want to publicly thank Steve Quayle, stevequayle.com. You know, it's amazing how you become friends with someone. I used to listen to Steve Quayle when he was on with Art Bell. I thought, man, he's a pretty intelligent guy. And just a set of circumstances, all of a sudden, we're friends. And he would give me the shirt off of his back. He would give you the shirt off of his back. He would give anybody the shirt off of his back. That man is more generous than there is no one more generous than Steve Quayle and Pastor David Langford and Greg Evenson. And I could go on. And I want to thank Dave Hodges for his friendship and J.B. Wells and Greg Jackson. And, you know, I could just go on and on and on. And I don't mean to forget anyone. I don't want, you know who you are. Ted Brewer, My goodness. The reason I'm doing this is we all need to take stock. I mean, the news is moving so fast. Things are happening so fast. And I'm going to tell you something. In the next 10 days to 10 to 14 days, there will be things you're going to be hearing from D.C., from inside D.C., Washington, D.C., that are going to be shaking everyone up. I just hope we can endure this. I hope we can endure what's coming. It's going to be a roller coaster of information and emotion. And just please understand what I'm saying. And if it doesn't happen in 14 days, so 28 days, I don't know. But it's coming. And it's coming fast. And it's going to be like a whirlwind, really. It will be. I do intend to publish some reports. I have not been able to get to them this week. I've been busy elsewhere. I want to thank Michael Savage, too, for being the inspiration that he is to me, personally and professionally, and for standing up for what's right. And for each one of our guests tonight, we've got a full lineup tonight, including Roger Stone, Kevin Shipp, you know, not everyone in the CIA is bad. Kevin Shipp is definitely one of the good ones. And then, of course, at the bottom of the hour, we have Faith Goldie coming on, brand new. I don't know whether you folks ever heard. I'm sure you've heard of her, but brand new to our program. And I would be remiss, lastly, if I did not thank Bill McIntosh. Bill McIntosh is the head of something called Ocaso Media. Ocaso Media. Again, a guy that would give the shirt off of his back. A guy that's got a wonderful business. We talk about Ocaso Media. And in fact, we'll do a read for Ocaso Media later on. But thank you, Bill McIntosh, for the assistance you've given us and continue to give us. And you know what? We're gonna be pushing through to the end tonight. Or throughout the, I mean, not just tonight, but for the long run. And I want to thank again everyone who's contributed to our efforts. That was on my heart today. Did I need to spend, 8 minutes doing it? No, probably not. But yeah, I did. Joe, I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's get this ball rolling. We've got a great show at the bottom of the hour. We've got Faith Goldie. We've got Roger Stone from 8 to 9. Roger Stone, you know, I got to tell you, Roger Stone, an incredible guy. The progressive left communist globalists have really done a number on him. And then Kevin Shipp, the CIA, the deep state, really did a number on him as well. And reach out to these people and tell them you appreciate them. Take it.
Yeah, we'll hit a couple of news items here before we bring on Faith Goldie from Rebel Media. And that website is therebel.media, and it's Rebel Media on YouTube. She's got over 650,000 subscribers, as well as her own radio show. Very intelligent, and we're looking forward to that. I want to there's a few stories I want to hit on, but let's do the first thing first. The London terrorist attacks. There has been a name and a photo release since the attack. It took a while to get there. Khalid Massoud was the attacker in Westminster, and he had an extensive criminal history. But there's an article today on MSN.com. How London attacker Khalid Massoud snapped because of racism in his village, then went to jail and became radicalized. This article, like so many others, is the liberal insane left trying to justify terrorist attacks and blame the culture for what this man became. Even though he stabbed somebody in the face in 2003, even though he has committed a number of other crimes, they are blaming racism. This article goes on to say that Khalid Massoud, the Westminster attacker, snapped because of racism in his village and slashed the face of a cafe owner before being radicalized in jail. What is known about this man is he was born as Adrian Elms, a career criminal with a history of violent crimes. He went off the rails in July 2000, slashing a man across the face after an argument that the article says had racial overtones. The attack would land him in jail, and his life, already in a fragmented state, would fall apart. And in another attack 3 years later, he stabbed a man in the nose before reportedly traveling to Saudi Arabia. But we see a lot of this in the news today. It's just disgusting how we see people defending terrorisms and trying to blame terrorist acts on racism or a culture of hate. Recently, I think it was yesterday, Canada passed a bill banning criticism of Islam. Banning criticism of Islam in Canada, making it another country or state like Europe and parts of Europe that have also banned the criticism of Islam. And I'm looking for the Canadian article here, but I also see that Faith Goldie from Rebel Media did a video, a 6-minute video on this yesterday, and she really had the inside scoop of who voted yes, who voted no, where was the prime minister in this vote. So we'll bring that up with her, because I think this is a story that's being overlooked with all the political commotion that's going on in our country. Today we were supposed to have the health care bill vote, and now that bill was pulled due to lack of support or lack of enough votes to get it passed, and they're calling it a disaster for Trump and embarrassing, humiliating, all these different words they're throwing out there, saying that, you know, he basically failed. But I don't know. I think he did what he was supposed to do. He got the bill forward, got it into the ability to vote. The Congress isn't doing nothing. The Senate isn't doing anything.
The Obama, Pelosi, Schumer, they own this now. They own Obamacare. It's untenable, Joe. The bill, the Obamacare as it stands right now cannot be, it's untenable. It cannot be sustained. And I think that I think Trump can see that. President Trump can see that. And I also think, Joe, that, you're going to see implosions and explosions with respect to Obamacare on a state-by-state basis, because that's how it's set up. And I think Donald Trump is going to allow that to happen.
We'll see.
Rush Limbaugh was talking today, he was talking about either he asked himself or someone asked him, what if the bill, repeal and replace bill fails? And, you know, who would he blame? It was an interesting conversation with himself that he had. You know how he does that. Well, he said, I'm not going to think that way. And I understand that. I understand, why would you think that way? Why would you answer or, you know, discuss the hypothetical in that particular instance? But I do think that this was, in some way, shape, or form, I don't believe that this was ever intended. Maybe initially it was intended to go to the floor for a vote. But you know what, Joe? I don't think it was really intended. Once Donald Trump got the lay of the land. I don't think it was ever intended to see a vote. At least not now. I've got nothing to back that.
Either way, there wasn't a vote on it. Obamacare is staying for now.
Yeah.
Some people call it a failure. Some people call it just part of the legislative process. Sean Hannity, when I was on my way here today, he made a good point saying that all those people who feel that Trump was an authoritarian type dictator, that this was an example of how that's not true, because it's not something he just rammed through without the approval of the House and Senate. The Gorsuch confirmation hearings over? I think yesterday was day four of the hearings. Yesterday, Chuck Schumer came out and said that Gorsuch was an extremist, and that that all Democrats should vote no for him or whatever he said. But I actually watched some of the confirmation hearings, and I did not see Gorsuch before, and he seemed pretty calm and reserved. Chose his words and his replies carefully. Didn't allow any leeway or rope to hang himself. Not that he would, but from what I understand, he's a very solid pick. So we still have those confirmation hearings going on, and it'll be interesting to see where that goes. One thing I want to make sure we hit on before we go to the break. Did you see this, Dad, on Facebook? There was a post, and InfoWars had an article about this, as well as other people. Hunt and kill all white women. Facebook post deemed not hate speech.
Yeah, unfortunately, I did see that.
Kill and hunt all white women. Facebook post deemed not hate speech. And this article on InfoWars and a few other places point out the double standards in which Facebook policies or polices the content and how it's very hypocritical, where the example InfoWars uses against this post by white women should be hunted and killed, then we wouldn't get white babies who think they own the world. Facebook reviewed that post after it was reported, and they came back saying that this did not violate their terms of service. But InfoWars points out how people just quoting Bible verses and posting them on Facebook are being deemed to violate their terms of service and are being censored.
Yeah,
and that's just, that's insane.
The banning of hate speech of Islam, well, okay, the banning of of what is considered to be hate speech is going to include all three the three primary monotheistic religions, Judaism, Islamic and Christianity, and there's a reason for that is because they want to make all appear to be the same.
Well, in Canada, and, what they did was in the bill it actually says anti-Islamic rhetoric. And then also, as like almost a footnote, it goes on to say any religious discrimination. But they single out the Islam part.
Sure.
Which is, there's no words. I mean, we don't have to continue to try to explain this. People can see it for exactly what it is. And this is more pandering to Islam, cowering in fear, not to offend anybody, a social justice, politically correct, insane move, you know. How are you going to instill laws in countries where you have radical Islamic terrorist attacks all the time, and then make it illegal to criticize that belief system that is creating all these attacks? I mean, you're setting yourself up to fail. You're setting your country up to fail and to be destroyed internally.
Well, sure. And that's
part, I mean, what are they going to do? Start arresting victims of terrorist attacks for being insensitive or being in the way? Yeah. We don't have far to go before everybody walks off their own cliff with this, or we're just taken over. And of course, what happens in Canada is needs to be kept a close eye on, as we share our biggest border is the Canadian border.
And of course, from culturally
ocean to ocean,
right?
Yep. Right.
That's right.
And think of how much easier access extremists would have, not having to come directly into the U.S. And this is a loophole that's been used by people for years, whether to stay off certain radars or whatever. You come, you fly into Canada, you get somebody to take you across the border, and this is the way it is. So Canada is following in the way of Britain and other European nations in banning speech against Islam. I don't know how many people saw this. I posted this on the website earlier. 19-year-old Israeli U.S. citizen arrested in connection with bomb threats to Jewish centers. And this continues to show a trend of fabricated hate crimes from people who said they were assaulted for being against Trump to other people who said that, you know, swastikas were drawn on their walls. More often than not, especially as of late, especially since the Trump election, since he was put into office, voted in and then put in, there's been this huge increase of false flag hate crimes that I'd say 75% of the time go right back to the person who's saying that they were the victim. But this story goes on to say that many news outlets are reporting that there's been arrests made in connection with bomb threats to the Jewish community centers in the U.S. and other nations. It was a 19-year-old Israeli-American citizen who has yet to be identified. He's accused of making threats over the past 6 months to Jewish community centers in Europe, the United States, Australia, and New Zealand. And the FBI made an arrest just yesterday. And we will, I'm sure, have his identity sooner than later. And this is, an ongoing trend.
Oh, we do have his identity. We got his name.
Okay. And then also, there's a story I didn't get a chance to talk to. The Maryland rape case, the illegal immigrants who raped a 14-year-old girl. There's an interesting video on Mediaite, and you can find it on YouTube, of Tucker Carlson interviewing the attorney for the illegal immigrant, where he goes on to say it's consensual, even though it was a 14-year-old girl and an 17-year-old man, which that makes consensual null and void. But check out that interview if you have time. When we come back, we'll be joined by Faith Goldie from Rebel Media on YouTube, therebel.media. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Parada's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
off right then. Go ahead. Welcome, folks, to this edition of the Hagman Report. We've got such a great guest, Faith Goldie. She is a fearless, and I mean a fearless journalist. She is a devout Christian. She's a Catholic, devout Catholic who stands up for family values, freedom, and firearms. How's that? Ms. Goldie's media career has included work with Bell's Media News Talk, 1010, Vision TV, Zoomer Radio, The Catholic Register, Toronto Sun, The Blaze, and I could go on and on and on the list. Laura Ingram, radio show, Sun News Network, National Post, Chorus Radio's AM 640, and on and on. By the way, I'm familiar with that, too, AM 640. Now, her videos are featured regularly on the Rebels YouTube channel, while her weekly program, On the Hunt, have you seen it? Or have you tuned into On the Hunt? Airs every Thursday night on the Rebel.media. The Rebel.media, that's the place to go. Before we get to our guests, I just want to let people know that Portions of Nice Broadcast brought to you by WholeTonesLive.com. We've had the owner of Whole Tones Live on our program, folks, Michael Terrell, and you know his product. If you haven't tried a sample of WholeTonesLive.com, please do that. Go to WholeTonesLive.com. That's WholeTonesLive.com. There you'll find a $10 off coupon at that URL for the listeners of the Hagman and Hagman Report. Joe, I'm going to kick it over to you. Let's bring on our guest.
Yeah, in the last segment, we were talking about a number of stories. And, folks, again, Faith's website is TheRebel.media, TheRebel.media, and Rebel Media on YouTube. Faith, it's great to have you on the Hagman and Hagman Report.
Thanks for having me on, gentlemen. I really appreciate it.
Well, we are so thankful for you, the work you do. Your work is incredible. Let's start right out right now with your video about, we were talking about this the first segment, or Joe was, the Canadian
blasphemy motion
M103. Yeah.
That was, I believe, passed yesterday.
You got it.
Yeah, explain this to us. What's going on up in Canada?
Certainly. So our Liberal Party, who's in charge right now with our feminist prime minister, pro-abort prime minister, Justin Trudeau, well, one of their members of parliament, Iqra Khalid, she's from Pakistan, and apparently she misses her hometown so much that she's decided to bring some of their culture and some of their legislation into Canada, where we usually have things like freedom of speech and conscience. But what this motion is that just was passed, M103, the entire Liberal Party voting for it, calls for a, quote, whole of government approach to eliminating Islamophobia. And at no point do they ever define what that means. So this has just been passed. There are next steps. So now we're going to have committees, parliamentary committees. They basically have been given a mandate to find Islamophobia, to show how Islamophobia does exist, and that will necessitate next steps from the government. And I just want to say this. When they say whole of government, they mean our federal police. They mean our government proper, i.e. the legislators. They mean the Supreme Court. And they also mean, we here in Canada have a state broadcaster, kind of like your PBS, but on steroids. And to CBC, they get over $1 billion in taxpayer money. And these guys have already started this anti-Islamophobia mandate before the motion was even passed. So as the whole world is waking up to, you know, headlines of yet more terrorist attacks, of yet more jihad creep, of, you know, a world in which there are Muslim no-go zones across the entire Europe, okay, not the Middle East, once Christian, once even, you know, secular Europe now has Muslim no-go zones, we in Canada are making it as comfortable as possible to not only have these sorts of pockets arise, but to turn our entire state into a Sharia safe space.
This is incredible. Now, this is a criminal law, correct?
It's a motion right now. So, okay. So motions can be looked at one of two ways. It's either it's kind of innocuous, you know, it's just kind of, a motion is almost like a protective lip service and a gesture. But the thing is that baked into this motion are next steps that will inevitably lead to legislation. And once legislation is in there, when they say eliminating Islamophobia, I mean, I assume that's it's going to be a criminal act if you violate that, just like our hate speech laws, you know?
Right.
But the thing is, we already have these sorts of laws on the books that say, you know, blowing up mosques is not okay, you know? Sending death threats to Muslims is not okay. And I think every law-abiding Canadian can say, yeah, that's outside of what we think is normal for society. But if I want to say that there are certain parts of the Quran that I find offensive and indeed reprehensible, like saying that you should strike at the necks and arms of unbelievers, I should be free as a Canadian citizen and a taxpayer to say those sorts of things. And hey, you want to take some jabs at my religion? Let's have at her. That's part of the liberal democratic society.
Now, I'm curious, how would that work? Let's just say for a second that this will proceed through the parliament.
Yeah, it will.
Okay. And it, let's assume it becomes law just for a moment. That you, of course, being in Canada, would have a serious problem.
Yep.
if they found against you. How would that work? Let's say someone in the United States, broadcasting in Canada, for example, like our program. How would
right.
that work?
We've gotten a little bit of a taste of how it's going to look like based on the propaganda news network of the CBC, who have struck together all sorts of panels. They have used our material as examples of, you know, Nazi rhetoric, of alt-right, you know, white nationalists, whatever, you know, all the usual slogans and tropes that they have now affixed to anyone who dares to exercise their God-given right to free speech. And what they're calling for right now is an intensification of policing, monitoring, and legislation of online spaces. Now, we're very lucky because, you know, we are a YouTube channel in a way, but our headquarters are in Toronto, right? Like, our servers, I'm pretty sure, are in Canada. And so it's a question of where do we go from there? I anticipate that within the next 90 days, what you'll see is probably some legal action taken against us, to be honest. And we're ready for that fight, and we're not going to take it lying down because... Frankly, this is a fight not just for our station. It's going to be a fight for all Canadians. And, you know, I did a petition at freedomtooffend.com, and folks can be free to go there. It was our biggest petition in all of rebel history. Canadians that were polled, over 41% of Canadians say that they do not like this motion. Why? It's not because they're a bunch of Islamophobic bigots. It's because they love free speech. They love their freedom of conscience, and they know that this is a blatant assault on it, right? So I anticipate that there will be a legal fight that will be waged against us, and I anticipate that we're going to fight it tooth and nail as far as we have to, not just for our sake, but for all Canadians.
Amen to that. Now, Faith, how can we help Rebel Media? How can we help you? We've got to stick together in this.
Amen.
The independent media has got, we've got to stick together because this is coming down fast.
It's coming down fast, you know, because we've seen a complete shakeout, especially, you know, after your election last November. The establishment feels they're on rocky grounds right now. And there has been, over the past several years, a democratization of data with, you know, the rise of things like social media networks, of independent and alternative media networks. And how can you help us? I mean, subscribe to our YouTube channel. It becomes really hard for folks to call us fake news when we have over 620,000 subscribers. It becomes really hard for politicians to dismiss us when we have emailable lists that are far greater than any of the national parties. We know that because we've had calls from folks like Nation Builder and told us that. So it becomes really hard. It's strength in numbers, right? And the thing is, you know, President Trump talked a lot about the silent majority, and that's what this is. After decades of self-censorship and the tyrannical force of political correctness, Joe Sixpack at the water cooler and at the dinner table said, I'm sick and tired and I'm not going to take it anymore. And so they need these sorts of outlets. So just giving us exposure, having me on your program, which I so appreciate, this is the sort of stuff that we need to do, cross-pollinate and make sure that our audiences, you know, kind of cooperate as like a Venn diagram and that we do have some sort of intersectionality. So rebel.media is the website. Sign our petition at freedomtooffend.com, and we'll be presenting it to the legislature so that way they know that people from across the world, and again, like, this is not far away, right? The States is just a hop, skip, and a jump. I'm 2 hours drive from Buffalo, right?
Yep.
This is not far away. And Y'all are lucky that you've got Donald Trump, who seems to be, you know, my kind of guy, frankly, my kind of president. And he's not going to be a lackey for the cultural Marxists and postmodernists who seek to destroy everything that's good and right in Western civilization by things like, you know, political correctness and censorship. So you guys have it good for at least the next, you know, 3.5-4 years. But it can all be lost in less than a generation, and that's why we have to remain so vigilant.
Let me ask you this. While we're talking about the blasphemy laws, and I haven't read the actual bill myself, and I don't know how this works with the laws you already have on the books, but and you mentioned hate speech laws that you guys already have. Let's say, does this legislation go as far as to say if you're offending somebody? Well, let's just use an example that, let's say you bring a fact, maybe the last 10 terrorist attacks in Canada were done by somebody of Muslim religion, and you use that example as a fact in an argument and say that offends somebody. Is that something that they will be able to come after you for, to your knowledge?
It's a great question. And the fact that Islamophobia is not in any way defined in this means that everything's on the table. Absolutely everything is on the table. Now, in my province of Ontario, just this past month, they've passed their own Sharia creep, their own blasphemy motion here. And they did define what Islamophobia includes, and it includes, wait for it, anti-Muslim sentiments. Thought crimes. Thought crimes, literally, have just been a blasphemy motion in my province, which is the most hyper-liberal. And to give you some inside baseball here, Prime Minister Trudeau's team came directly from Ontario's team. Our premier's team basically all just transitioned over to the federal government. So we're kind of like a test tube petri dish for what happens at the federal level. So thought crime, anti-Muslim thought crime, is now, there's a motion against it that's just been passed unanimously, including our conservatives, in my province. So forget about even talking about it. You can just think the wrong thing in this province, and since our feds haven't defined it, heck, my answer to you is, why not?
Sure, exactly.
Pretty wow. Frightening.
This is amazing. Even 4 years ago, 5 years ago, 8 years ago, I mean, when did you see this coming, or did you think, oh, this could never happen? I mean, maybe that's a kind of a left-handed question there. I didn't.
No, not at all. You know, we had 10 years of conservative leadership rule here under Stephen Harper. He did not do enough in order to, I think, make his legacy outlive his time in office. But I will say that I felt very comfortable when he was in office. He believed in things like free speech. He believed in things like Israel's right to exist, you know, in all sorts of things, you know, like from fiscal to foreign policy to social policies. He had a lot going on that was good. But Prime Minister Trudeau, it's not him that's so unsavory, it's his team. His team includes a bunch of cynical liberals who are disciples of Saul Alinsky, and I mean that quite literally. Once removed, these guys are Saul Alinsky cronies, and we know what he's about, right? This is a guy who dedicated his rules for radicals to the evil one himself. And I don't mean to sound too conspiratorial, but you know, there's light and there's darkness, and these guys are about a different team than what I play for. And Justin Trudeau, God bless him. He comes from good stock, but I mean, this is no offense to our office, but he barely has two brain cells to rub together. But he's a fantastic puppet, and so it's the folks who are flapping his lips, like one Gerald Butson. You can look into him. This guy is behind all sorts of policies that went wrong here in my province, and he's now running the show for our prime minister.
Wow. Well, I've got to ask this question in Toronto, where you reside. Do you have somebody that sent me this question that they knew you were going to be on the program? They know of you, of course. They want me to ask this question. Do you have no-go zones in Toronto?
No, but we are seeing a So certain parts of the city certainly have a Muslim majority within them. And so what you see now are publicly funded public schools in which Muslim prayers are held every Friday, where girls are separated from the boys. Girls who are menstruating are forced to sit at the back within our publicly funded schools. And just now there is a huge battle going down in one of the school boards. And this is really, they're turning our schools into madrasas. And that's where I'm saying that there's probably the closest that we have to no-go zones right now. In one of our school boards, the Peel District School Board, they have just essentially passed these Muslim prayers that used to have to be vetted to make sure that there was nothing weird going on. Well, now they can be said in Arabic, and they don't have to be vetted anymore. And what do you know, that within the first couple of weeks of this happening, there are now sermons that are warning these Muslim children of Christians and Jews. And this is happening at the same time where our mosques in Toronto and Montreal, our two most populated cities, have just been found in the past several weeks. We've had several cases of imams praying, making supplications for the annihilation of Jews. Okay, so I feel like that's a no-go zone for me. I as a Christian, exactly, would not want to go there, right? Sure. So is it? Do we have, you know, the sort of stuff that you see, you know, in Molenbeek? No, of course not. But I will say that we have been importing en masse Syrian refugees, and the majority of them are Muslim. And our prime minister is saying, you know, we're all about the refugees right now. But at the same time, he's capped private sponsorships, which are by and large from the churches and that have helped persecuted Christians who are experiencing a genocide across the Middle East right now. He's capped them to 1,000. So we're bringing in tens of thousands of Muslims, Sunni Muslims, who are coming and staying on our tax dollar, on our welfare, in our hotels, which now those have become no-go zones where we've put these refugees. And the Christian refugees are capped to 1,000, essentially.
Man, okay. And that was for Julie out of Lockport, New York.
Thanks, Julie.
Yeah, great lady. But Faith Goldie is our guest. And again, you see how fearless she is, folks. I mean, a real Christian to me, my goodness, telling the truth. And, of course, a real journalist, of course, drilling down right to the meat of things. It's the weekend. Busy news day, of course, today here in the United States. Faith, if I can just ask you, what is on your radar as a journalist right now? If you had to pick, well, I'm going to ask you to pick just one or two things right now that you're really kind of lasered in on that you think are really important to focus on today or this weekend. What's on
yeah,
your radar?
Absolutely. Well, of course, this is in the wake of the London terrorist attack, right? And that sent shockwaves, well, it should at least, throughout the West. And why this one's special? This one was on the heart of Britain within her federal legislature, her parliament. And what I worry, you know, I'm good friends with Tommy Robinson. He's my colleague at The Rebel. And this is, you know, British Defense League guy who's been at 10 years talking about jihad creep that's been happening, especially in the blue collar parts of Arabia, as I now like to call it. And London's Muslim mayor, Sadiq Khan, said that terror attacks are now, quote, part and parcel of living in urban cities. And I tend to agree with him, because the makeup now of our urban cities across Europe have changed. There's now over 10% Muslim population in most of these cities. And I don't, I know folks want to call me Islamophobic all over, and I don't imagine I'll get that from your awesome audience, but I will say this. As Christians, we have to remain vigilant and remember, this is not a new war. Just because we stop fighting a holy war in a physical sense, does not mean that Islam ever did. It is a conquering religion. It is a warring religion, and its borders are fought by shedding blood. And we see that happening. You know, the Middle East was all Christian once upon a time, let's not forget. And I imagine that 10 years from now, we'll say the same thing about Europe. So what I'm watching right now is the response to London's terror attack, because this guy wasn't a refugee. This guy was homegrown. And so there is a problem with the political culture, the religious culture, frankly, of Europe. And I think that I'm sort of done with looking to liberal societal institutions like the media and politics. And I'm going to start challenging Christians, because we need to start coming together, you know, one of the best parts of Donald Trump's campaign was that he called evangelicals, he called Christians together, and he said, your numbers beat everyone else's. You're such a huge block. Why aren't you guys getting what you want all the time, right? There is a genocide happening across the Middle East right now. I was in Bethlehem 2 weeks ago. Bethlehem is now a Muslim town where our Lord and Savior was born. I was out there and there were Muslim men doing their call to prayer surrounding the Church of the Holy Nativity, right? And we don't hear about that at the pulpit. We don't hear about that whatsoever. We're part of the problem, I think, as Christian society. We have to get a little bit more excited and stand up for our brothers and sisters in Christ. So I'm looking to the Christian community in the fallout of this, and we have to start being leaders on this, because God knows no one else is willing to do it. Outside of that, I don't know. I've become really, really, you know, obsessed with the Canadian Sharia creep stuff right now, and we've already talked about that.
I'm going to toss it to you, Joe, but I just want to say thank you so much. You're a gutsy woman, a Christian, laying it out, because I said the same thing yesterday. We've been saying the same thing. We can win on the numbers. Christians have to develop, grow a backbone. And we have to say enough. Not one. In fact, we have to fight back. It's the only way for us to survive. And I want to thank you for your voice out there saying, hey, let's get together. And
thank God.
You know,
amen.
Yeah. So go ahead, Joe.
Absolutely. And Christians have become the majority pacified for some reason and not willing to get together to use their influence, whether it's doctrinal differences or denominational differences, I don't know, but what Trump said and what you just reiterated were very accurate. And you know, why shouldn't an organization with the majority of people be able to push through and come together to get things at least turned back to normal, some sense of normal? But this is what I want to ask you. You've mentioned you have your ear to the ground when it comes to politics. You've been in the media for a while. The political climate here in America, from what you've witnessed, between the left and the right and the media, where do you think this is heading? We've seen people talk about the possibility of violent civil war, mm-hmm. with the differences that we have in the basically two belief systems, which historically, I don't know why people are getting so invested. Maybe it's because Trump, he's an outsider. He brings new possibilities, but it seems like people are you know, locked in more than ever to the left-right paradigm. Where do you see this going? Because all the news reporting, fake news reporting, it doesn't seem to be changing anybody's mind. People only seem to be getting dug in even deeper in their positions. How do you see this playing out?
I don't think that violence is off the table. I think that both sides of the camp have been pushed to further extremes, and I think both sides are mad. And I know that when words fail, violence takes over. And regrettably, since about the time of, you know, the American Marxists and developing their schools and so perfectly executing their plans to commandeer everything from your media, your politics, your schools, your unions, what they've done is robbed Americans of their usual language. They've robbed them of rationality. They've robbed them of critical thinking. Spend one day on a university campus and find me someone who can put together a logical argument. Those kids are now voting. Those kids are now living away from mom and dad and free to act themselves. And they're on both sides. You have, you know, who are the people who won wars? They were young men. Why? Because they were full of testosterone and they believed in something. Well, you've got that population right now, and both sides have been radicalized. You have young white men who've been told that they are the enemy, that they are the oppressors, right? And this is the thing. You know, Andrew Breitbart once said, the cultural Marxist came to America and they understood that the haves and the have-nots dichotomy would not work there because everyone was just chasing the American dream. I might be a have-not today, but I want to be a have tomorrow. So what do? They changed the lexicon to the oppressors and the oppressed. And right now, everyone has a beef. Either they feel like they've been oppressed or they feel like they've been wrongly painted as the oppressors. And they don't have the common ground, and words stopped making sense. 1984 has become America 2017, right? There is no debate. Look at what happens to when my colleagues in the media show up at university campuses. They have alarm bells and sirens and fire alarms pulled over them, over top of their speeches. They're maced. They have rocks thrown at them. I've been at these things. I was just at one last month. These kids can't argue anymore. They can't debate anymore. And we've told them that that's acceptable. And so what's going to happen when they're mad and they can't articulate things because they haven't been taught the merits of the marketplace of ideas? They're going to take to arms. And something needs to be sorted out, but I'm not sure that things are going to get better. I worry that things might get a little bit worse. And, you know, Orwell said, at a time of universal deceit, telling the truth is a revolutionary act. And I think that you have a president right now who is just a tip of an iceberg of a revolution. And I pray to God that he covers your country and he covers this whole continent and Europe too, for that matter. And he keeps us away from that. But I'm just not convinced that frankly, like I said, it's going to get better before it gets worse.
Wow. Faith Goldie, thank you so much. I know that it's been a busy day, busy week, busy month for you. Thanks for dropping by, and I do hope that you can find time to come back. You're a gracious guest, and certainly a fearless journalist, and we are proud to know you.
Rebel Media on YouTube. Yep. TheRebel.media is the website.
Yes. God bless, guys. Don't be a stranger. Happy to come on anytime.
Thank you. God bless you.
Thank you.
What a great lady. What a great lady. I'm telling you. And folks, her introduction to you, the first time on the Hagmann Report. And I want to thank John and, and Brittany and whoever else was involved in bringing her on. Follow her.
Yeah, subscribe to her YouTube channel.
Yes. Subscribe. And I signed up for, Freedom to Offend. I pledged today on Freedom to Offend.
Freedom to Offend is the petition, right? Folks, support her as best you can. Subscribe to her YouTube channel, bookmark her website, and pay attention. She's got a lot of common sense content that is defying what the government is trying to do through the, you know, blasphemy, anti-Islamophobia laws. When we come back, Roger Stone will be our guest. Don't go anywhere.
Greenovative. Go to HagmannReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the GMAG Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right? You need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water, but a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super GMAG Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night. Go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Perhaps you're a business out there, a small business. Would you like to extend the reach of your business? I bet you would. Would you like to have the same opportunities as companies such as Omaha Steaks, Pro Flowers, and Casper Mattress, and some of the bigger companies out there? Would you like to have that same power? Advertise on our program. Go to HagmannandHagmann.com or send an email to opportunities@HagmannandHagmann.com. If you go to HagmannReport.com and HagmannandHagmann.com, there's a link where you can. It's a big red box. You'll see it. Click on that link and go ahead and read the benefits we have created for you. I think it's a fabulous opportunity.
for investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. Consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.